Great to see you. You might have heard the one about the guy who was looking after the house while his wife went away on holiday with her friends. And she rings back up and says, how's everything going? And he said, you need to know the cat's dead. And she said, oh, you're so insensitive. Fancy telling me like that. And he said, oh, sorry, love. How did you want to know? She said, well, you could have broke it to me gently. She said, well, what could I have said? She said, you could have told me, look, the cat's stuck on the roof. And then I could have rang you tomorrow and you could have said, look, the cat's fell off the roof. I've took it to the vet. It's not looking good. And the third day, you could have broke it to me to do it more gently. He said, all right, love, sorry, sorry. She said, anyway, that was my mother. He said, she's on the roof. That's got absolutely nothing to do with anything, but it's the only joke I know. So it's fantastic to see you. We really want to encourage you to open your hearts straight away to the Holy Spirit and get as much as you can out of these 3 months. This is going to be a life-changing experience for you, absolutely. It's going to be either a little bit of a life-changing experience or a massive one, and sometimes that's dependent on us. We were praying just before it started, and the Holy Spirit said to us in the back room, Andy was praying and he heard the sound, ding, like an oven, ding, like, you know, when an oven gets hot enough. And he felt the Holy Spirit say, you know, the oven's hot, it's all ready, you don't have to warm up, you can just jump straight in and start the process. So we'll believe that tonight, eh, that God's Holy Spirit is here, and Jesus is here, his presence is here. And he's going to do something awesome in our life. And all we need to do is get in and let him, you know, change us and shape us. 3 months in the Route 61 oven can change you. Because Route 61, as you know, is just our cool way of saying Isaiah 61, which is actually Jesus' ministry. Lots of years ago, probably about 15 years ago, I had the massive privilege of going to Israel with Ian Kirby. Some of you might remember him. He was our old pastor. And I wanted to go somewhere else. Revival was happening in Argentina. Just beginning, I think, in Florida as well. And I was hearing about all these things. And he said, we're going to send you to Israel. And I was like, I don't want to go where Jesus was. I want to go where he is. And so I wasn't very happy about going, but I was really glad I did. It was an absolutely awesome experience for me. I remember arriving there. In Tel Aviv airport and driving up, you know, getting on a everywhere looks the same, doesn't it, at night when you fly in, it's all little lights in the airport. But as we were driving up this motorway towards Galilee, everyone was asleep, I think, apart from me and Ian Kirby, who was sat at the front, and he said back, that's Nazareth over there, that hill there with the lights on. I remember looking up and thinking, Nazareth, it's real. It sounds daft. I mean, I've been preaching for years, but the fact that Nazareth, who was right there, really affected me. I thought, well, that's where he grew up. That's where he ran on those hills as a little lad, you know. I was really moved. I began to get soft, you know, because I've been incredibly dry. You can be preaching and doing all sorts of things and just dry, can't you? Maybe you feel a bit of that tonight, you know. Been a Christian for a while, but you can just get incredibly dry and disconnected from Jesus and God. You could be doing all the God stuff, but actually still incredibly wounded, dry, damaged, hurt. I began to warm up a little bit on that bus. A few little tears to my eyes. And God met me massively while I was there. One of the awesome things we did was went to visit Nazareth. And in Nazareth, they've discovered what they're almost sure is the synagogue where Jesus read Isaiah 61. They built synagogues on top of synagogues. So they dug down to the level that was there when Jesus was ministering in that age. And they opened it all out. And you can go down it, some steps about as far down as from the roof to here. And you come into this like chapel, synagogue. It's about half the size of this room. And I think Pete Conroy or someone read out Isaiah 61. It was absolutely awesome. You could hear a pin drop, you know, and all those people were weeping. And it's like where Jesus declared what he came to do. It's where he first unrolled the scroll and said, declared to everyone. Some people hated it, some people loved it, some people were offended, some people had been waiting all their lives for it. But he said, this is what I have come to do. He started by saying, the Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me. That's why I'm starting, in fact. Just been baptized by John in the River Jordan, came up out of the water, and the Holy Spirit descended on him like a dove, it says. The Father speaks to him in grace and favor before he's ever preached a sermon or done any work at all, which says tells you something about the love of God. He says, you are my son. That's going to happen for some of you over the next 3 months. God is going to speak that into your heart and confirm your identity, release you from all your identity issues. Who am I? Terrible background. Who's my dad? Why didn't I have a good dad? All that is cured by this dad. He said to Jesus, as Jesus was receiving the Holy Spirit, you are my son. With you, I am well pleased. Before he'd ever done anything. It tells you something about God. Nothing to do with performance. I love you. I say who you are. You're mine. I'm your dad. And Jesus goes straight from there to the wilderness to face the devil. And then straight from the wilderness to the synagogue. He declares to everyone, this is what I've come to do. He casts out a demon, heals the sick, starts preaching. Never stopped. That's why we're here tonight. And it's absolutely phenomenal that you're here. And I want to encourage you to take every opportunity to get here, you know, get here open, get here early, get here ready for God. This is absolutely for you. We've done this many times ourselves and we're always excited because God's here. God is going to do things. And for us as well, we're in the same oven. We're going to change over these 3 months. So people are running their small groups. Every week there'll be a small group time. It's a very important time for you to share. Open your heart if you want to. If you want to, share what's happening with you, what's happening in your heart, how you feel with God and yourself. And there'll be all sorts of different activations for us to do together. Some of them might be a bit challenging. Some of them might be a bit scary. I don't know. But I'd encourage you to try and go for it. Try and take some steps of faith. And these small groups are safe places. They're women and men, for starters. But then they're also totally confidential. No leader comes back and shares with any other leader what's happening in their group. It's up to that group. You're your own friends. You look after each other through this course. And, you know, so... And I'd like to ask you to do the same, you know, if you're in the group. Be confidential about what's said in the group. And you know, when over the years, I've been to thousands of small groups. Somehow, when everyone is honouring that, you know it. You know it. And it helps you relax and open up and be really vulnerable with brothers or sisters and get healed quicker. If there's a sense of unsurety or lack of trust in the group, then it's a lot harder to open up. So if you, we could all honour that, that would be brilliant. You know, and you know, if your friends say, how'd it go in your small group, just say, great. What happened? It was great. No, you can, and protect each other in that. I think that's important. So we're going to take some steps of faith, important ones. Every week there'll be a small group time, there'll be a talk, and there'll be opportunities to do some sort of activation. The activations are massively important. Doing something prophetic or just physically responding is incredibly important with God. Jesus often said to Peter, you know, come to me and I will give you rest. You know, I'm not running after you. You come to me. Follow me. He often said that. When people began to come to him and follow him, then he could send them and use them. It was always come to him first. This is where this all starts. You're not here to do any ministry. For some of you, that's probably a great relief. You've been in church for years. And you've been doing loads of stuff. That's great. But for these 3 months, we'd like you not to do any. We'd like you to get in receiving mode. Be like a little boy or a little girl again. And just come before your daddy in heaven. with nothing to offer, nothing to prove. Don't run around trying to pray for the people. I'm really helping someone in my small group. Don't. Get help. Be helped by God yourself. It's easy to sort of hide behind that stuff as well. Oh, I'm helping him. Well, what about you? This is for you. God's coming to you in these 3 months. He's coming for you. And it's really important that you're open and willing. You know, a few years ago I was in Uganda preaching, and I had the massive privilege of going to the equator. You know, the equator runs right through Uganda. The equator is the middle of the earth, you know. But I didn't know it was an actual line. Did you? Did anyone else know that? We were driving along the road, and as we were driving along the road, there's this white line drawn across the road with the words someone painted on. Equator. We got out the car and they said, "You might want to look at this. This is the equator." I thought, "Are you sure?" I mean, how do you know it's the equator? I thought, isn't the equator just sort of a general, a mile wide something? The middle of the earth's pretty big. But apparently not. And they proved it. They said, "Look, watch this." There was a funnel with a bucket on either side of the line. They said, "Here, pour the water into the funnel." It's like a little equator thing that people do. You pour the water into the funnel. The water spins this way. Every time you open your plug hole in your sink or your bath, the water spins the same way. Don't know whether you knew that. I didn't. Scientists among us might. It always spins the same way. Always, always, always. It's to do with the rotation of the earth. You step over that line, you pour the water, you span the other way. It was like, I was absolutely awestruck. I can't believe it. I said, "What happens when you pour it in the middle?" He said, "Try." I put it right in the line and poured it. It just went straight down. It didn't spin. Do you know what? It was a weird feeling to be stood exactly in the centre of the earth. Felt pretty awesome. You know, the interesting thing is, it was just one step, and I was on one side of the world. I truly was. One step, and I was on the other side of the world. I truly was. Do you know something? The kingdom of God is like that. The line of the kingdom of God runs right next to us all our life. And very often, God says, "Step over now." And we have a choice. These activations we're going to do each week are like that. You can step over. And do you know something? When you take one step of faith, it can change everything in your life. You look the same, you feel the same, but everything starts working the other way. The other way. If it's been going downhill for 35 years, fear not. One significant step with Jesus Christ, it can all start working the other way. That's the power of the kingdom of God. But you know what? It takes a step on our behalf. Jesus said, "The kingdom of God is at hand." Like, reach out. It's at hand. It's right here. It's right here with me. Reach out and touch it, and something will happen for you. So, you might be excited. You might be scared. Me too. But God's here. Let's just pray, and then we're going to go into our small groups for half an hour, get to know each other, then we'll come back and do the first talk. Oh, we'll worship, yeah, when we come back as well, yeah. Holy Spirit, we thank you that you're here. Jesus, we thank you that you're here. Father, we thank you that you are here to bless and to change us and to touch us. We believe what you've just said to us, Lord, that the oven is hot. And we choose to step in right now into your presence. Each of us, we just say to you in our hearts, "Lord, here I am. Here I am, Lord. You've got me on a journey. You've brought me to this place to do something in my life, something new. And I'm here. I'm ready for it. I'm open for it." Amen.
Good evening to everybody and welcome. I was just thinking there about receiving, you know, and that's what Route 61 is about, receiving. I don't know what you think about when you think about receiving. You might think about receiving a gift or receiving somebody into your home. And, you know, if you're expecting somebody to come to your house, You know, you might think, right, I'm going to tidy up everywhere and make it all nice. But if somebody comes unexpectedly, you know, and you open the door and your house is a mess, which happens to me sometimes, you know, when you've got little children, you know, your house can be a mess a lot of the time. You can open the door, and I just used to say, oh, love me, love my mess, come on in, you know. And sometimes we feel like we can tidy up, we want to tidy up everywhere, you know, to receive people. But, you know, Route 61 is a place where God doesn't want you to tidy up everywhere. He just wants you to be you, you know, where you are now. He doesn't want you to feel like you have to make everything all right and presentable. He just wants you to open the door and say, come on in, you know, whatever's in here, come in and meet me here. Just to encourage you, like Martin said earlier, about receiving, how, you know, it can be difficult for us to receive. And, you know, if we're kind of people who like to encourage and bless and pray for other people, we can feel like if you see somebody crying or if you see somebody in need, you can feel like, oh, I better go. But, you know, and it's a challenge just to receive yourself. And just to encourage you to trust God with everybody else and just allow God to come into your life and heart in a new way for yourselves. I was just reading these scriptures, and I just thought I would read them now before we start. A few scriptures. And it says here, this is from Matthew, and there's other scriptures, it says, he will not break a bruised reed. And it says, the sacrifices God desires are a humble spirit. O God, a humble and repentant heart you will not reject. He heals the brokenhearted and bandages their wounds. This is what the high and exalted one says, the one who rules forever, whose name is holy. I dwell in an exalted and holy place, but also with the discouraged and humiliated, in order to cheer up the humiliated and to encourage the discouraged. For I will not be hostile forever or perpetually angry, for then man's spirit would grow faint before me, the life-giving breath I created. But I just thought it was interesting. He will not break a bruised reed, you know, and you might feel like a bruised reed. And it takes courage to be vulnerable to God, really, you know, if you feel bruised. But it says he will not break a bruised reed. And I thought this is interesting. The sacrifices God desires are a humble spirit and a repentant heart. He actually wants those who are broken and are humble before him. That's the sacrifice he wants. He wants us to come and say, here I am, you know. He doesn't want us to put a face on or pretend we're anything else. But he wants us to come as we are, you know, with everything, you know, that's inside of us, and not to be afraid. And he says, I dwell in an exalted and holy place, but also with the discouraged and humiliated, in order to cheer up the humiliated and to encourage the discouraged. Like, that's our God, you know. He dwells in a holy place. He's an awesome God. But actually, he also dwells with us, you know, and he wants to be with us, the weak, the broken, and he wants to be with us there, and he wants to strengthen us and heal us. So I just wanted to encourage us in that, you know, to have courage, not to feel like we have to tidy everything up and, you know, make everything all right before God can visit us, but actually it's the total opposite. He wants us to come as we are and bring our life as a sacrifice, you know, with our bruises and all the pain and everything else that's inside. You might not even know what's there, you know, but just to come and say, okay, Lord, you know, come in and have your way. So the first week is about the Holy Spirit and about receiving the Holy Spirit. And our God is Father and Son and Holy Spirit, and we know that. And when you think about the Father, we have a picture of Father. We can do that. And when we think about the Son, Jesus, we can have a picture of Jesus, and we can do that. But the Holy Spirit, you think, well, what do I do there? How do I imagine the Holy Spirit? And it can be a bit difficult, you know. But actually, our God is a God of relationship, and he wants us to have a relationship with him, the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. So we just, you know, tonight we just want to encourage each one of us to desire that more, a relationship with the Holy Spirit, and that he's a person, you know. He wants a personal relationship with you. Because often we can think of the Holy Spirit as a force or a power, But it's not true. He is actually a person. And, you know, we see in the Bible expressions of who he is. You know, he comes as a dove or water or fire or wind. And, you know, when we think of like power and heat, you know, it kind of, power and heat wakes us up, and that's what the Holy Spirit wants to do. And he comes as a drink and water, and that's the Holy Spirit. He wants to refresh us, and he wants to quench us, and he can come as a breeze to guide us and direct us, our lives. So the Holy Spirit, he wants to be our friend and have a relationship with us. And he doesn't want our lives with him to be functional, but personal. And he wants them to be personal with you. Years ago, when me and Martin, we were having a decision to make, we were about 19, walking along the streets of Middlesbrough, chatting away about something we needed to make a decision on. And we were like, what should we do this? Should we do that? Should we say that? Should we say this? And as we were walking down the streets, these children were just playing in the street, and they just skipped along, and one of the children sang out, "Ask the Holy Spirit." I mean, it sounds a bit weird, really, doesn't it? It's quite shocking, but we were like, whoa. But it was, for us, it was God speaking to us, because we were trying to work things out and, you know, work everything out in our own strength and ideas. And we thought, ask the Holy Spirit. And like, and that's what he wants us to do, you know. So we did. We asked the Holy Spirit, and he showed us and he guided us to know, you know, to know what to do. And so for us, it's like the Holy Spirit is a person. He wants to talk to us, and he wants to speak to us and to guide us, and he wants to have a relationship with us. So it's your choice. You can choose how deep you go with the Holy Spirit. You know, if you've got somebody close to you, you know lots of things about them. And some other people might only know their name, their date of birth. But if you have somebody close to you, you know their heart and their desires, the things they love and the things they hate. But the Holy Spirit wants that relationship with us. You know, he wants to show us the things he loves, the things he hates, and that he wants to talk to us and relate to us on that level. So I just wanted to encourage us, for us to realise he is a person, you know, and he wants to be personal to you, every single one of us, you know. He wants to speak to each one of us. And the Holy Spirit, where does he want to live, you know? It says, he wants to live in us. You know, the story about the woman at the well, Jesus answered her and said, "Everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again, but anyone who drinks the water I give them will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give them will become in them a spring of water welling up to eternal life." So God wants us to be thirsty for him, you know, and the Holy Spirit is the one who can quench every one of our thirsts, whatever that might be, for us to know that. Whatever your thirst is, the Holy Spirit can quench that thirst. And I think it's awesome how Jesus said, you know, if you drink this water, that this water will become in you the fountain that will well up to eternal life. And this fountain is something that will remain in you, you know, because often people can say, oh, I was filled with the Holy Spirit, but I'm not now, or, you know, he's left me or whatever. But it's not true. The truth is, when you ask the Holy Spirit to come into your life and into your heart, he comes in. You might not experience anything, but it's by faith that he comes, because he wants to come to you. He produces within you this fountain. So if you can imagine that, this fountain, this source within you, that is there forever. So every day you can say, fill me afresh, Holy Spirit. Fill me up again. Because that source is within you, for you to know that truth. And the Holy Spirit, where does he want to go? Well, he wants to go, it says, it says here, the wind blows where he chooses, and you hear the sound of it, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit. And that's the Holy Spirit. He goes where he pleases, you know. And the question is for us, do we want to go with him? You know, when you think of a boat with sails, You can have the boat just going along the water, you know, on its own and being like that, not moving very far. But when you put the sails up and the wind comes, then the boat goes, you know. And that's for us, like the sails of our life are everything, you know, in our lives. And it's God wants to encourage us to put our sails up, you know, to give him our hearts, to give him every area of our lives, to put our sails up and say, Holy Spirit, come into my life. And it takes courage to do that, you know, to blow away all the cobwebs, to blow away everything. Come into my life and just blow me. Show me where you want me to go, what you want me to do. But just tonight, we just want to encourage you to do that also. And when the Holy Spirit came at Pentecost, Jesus said to his disciples, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you shall be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. And you know, when the Holy Spirit came, or when the Holy Spirit came at Pentecost, it says, Jesus said he wants to clothe you with power from on high. And you know, we're tempted to do everything we can be in our own strength. And it's like, if you can imagine, like a cloak coming down from heaven, you know, coming down upon the disciples there in the upper room, like as if to receive power from on high. And that's what he wants to do for us. He wants to give us power from on high to live the life he wants us to live for him. You know, we need his power. You know, he doesn't want us to do it in our own strength, in our own ideas and ways. He wants to encourage us to receive his power from on high. And when you think about the disciples, it's interesting, when they're in that upper room, it said, and there appeared on them tongues of fire distributed and resting on each one of them. And it said that actually each one of them was sitting down. And I thought, that's interesting, isn't it? Because in a sense, when you think, oh, when the Holy Spirit came, you often see depicted in pictures, you see, you know, paintings, you see all the disciples and everybody there standing up, don't you, like, with their arms in the air and that's this kind of thing. But it actually says they were sitting down, waiting, expecting. They were actually expecting, but sitting down. And I thought, oh, that's interesting. And how the Holy Spirit came and how, in a sense, it's to do with our heart, you know. They were waiting and expecting. But it's to do with our heart. Is our heart ready to receive, you know? And sometimes standing up or putting your arms up can be an expression of what's going on. But it's to do with your heart more than your physical, you know? And some people find it hard to stand up or put your hands up. But actually, for us, if your heart is open and ready to expect and ready to receive, that the Holy Spirit wants to come into your life. And just lastly, when the Holy Spirit came, it says that he came with tongues of fire resting on each one of them. And that's the Holy Spirit. He's our friend, each one of us. You know, it didn't say there was a blanket of fire. It said there was a tongue of fire, you know, on every head. Every single person in that room, the Holy Spirit came upon each one of them. And we can feel, oh, well, is he interested in me? Does he want to fill me? Does he want to come into my life? But actually, the Holy Spirit does. He wants to come to every single one of us and have a relationship with every one of us, because the Holy Spirit is inclusive. He doesn't exclude anyone. If your heart is ready to receive and your life is ready to receive, expect him to come to you.
Thank you. Praise the Lord. So are you ready to receive tonight? Oh, maybe gently as well. That was interesting. I've never read that before about sitting down. So in a few minutes when we're finished, we're going to give you an opportunity to receive the Holy Spirit, to be filled with the Holy Spirit. That's where Route 61 begins. That's where Jesus' ministry begins. That's where the church began. And it's where the Bible began. It's where the world began. The creation of the world began. Can someone sort this out? Does someone know what they're doing? Is that you down there? Will you have a little look at that? Or do you know how to do that, Carl, so it doesn't go wiggly-waggly in everyone? Listen to the very beginning of the Bible. It says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and empty. And darkness was over the surface of the deep. And the Spirit of God was moving over the waters. That's the very beginning of the Bible. Do you know, everything begins with the Holy Spirit. Creation began with the Holy Spirit. Nothing happens without him moving. You know what? This might be like you tonight. Formless. Empty. Dark. Holy Spirit's the answer. He's the one who brings shape and definition to your life. That's an identity issue. He's the one, God, through Jesus Christ, sends his Holy Spirit into you to show you who you are, to bring, to form you. Otherwise, you're formless. People go through their whole lives searching for who they are, searching for the real identity. Actually, only God can show you who you are. He created you. And he needs to come in to finish the job, to form you into who he wants you to be. Who are you? What you're meant to do? You know, if you don't know who you are, you don't know what you're meant to do. What am I meant to do with my life? Well, not drift through it. Who's going to help you? Don't worry, the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit loves you. He's going to come in and form you. Just like the potter's hands round the clay. It's a lump of clay, it's just all over the place. Don't know what I'm meant to be, don't know who I am. Got loads of identity issues. Been searching all my life. Been looking for love, been looking for answers, been looking for solutions. The Holy Spirit comes and begins to form you. You are my daughter. You are my son. I'm going to speak to you. I'm going to shape you. You let him do that. How many people know that it's easier when the clay's wet than when it's hard and cracked and resistant to the hands? The Holy Spirit tonight is going to do, not tonight, over the next 3 months, God is going to shape you. He's going to change your shape if you're up for it, make you more like Jesus, make you more like Jesus. To do that, you need to be really wet. You need the Holy Spirit. You need to be filled every day, just like Margaret said, every day. If you've never been baptized in the Holy Spirit, and that's very possible, and that's absolutely fine, because it can happen for you in a minute. If you've never been baptized in the Holy Spirit, like Jesus was baptized in the River Jordan, then tonight's your night, if you'd like to be, because he's there for the asking. Not because I asked, but because Jesus promised it. And he honours the promise of Jesus. Jesus said, ask and you will receive and your joy will be full. You'll be baptised in the Holy Spirit. That's wonderful. Maybe you're a Christian and you fit the description that Margaret just gave. You have the well. You've drank living water before. So you have the spring, the fountain inside you. But that fountain can become blocked, or you can grieve the Holy Spirit. You can live with a minimalistic attitude to God, and you can just get on with your life yourself. And, oh yeah, I go to church sometimes. And even though you've had such a wonderful encounter with God, you can let that become a very small thing. But good news for you as well. The Holy Spirit will come upon you and through you in a moment when we pray. And he'll well up within you. Jesus said, he who drinks this water will never thirst, for the water I give will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life. This water wells up. And you can know what it is to be filled from the inside and filled from the outside. Holy Spirit comes upon you. Holy Spirit fills you. He loves you. He just wants permission. He wants you to honour him as God. He wants you to repent of your sin. If you've grieved him, now's the time to say sorry, right now. Don't wait till I've finished speaking. God, I'm sorry. God, I'm wrong. God, forgive me. Holy Spirit, I need you. My life is pants without you. If that's a good phrase to use. It is. Pants without him. Life is pants without God. Pants without being filled with the Holy Spirit. It's terrible dragging yourself along. Spurgeon said, some of us sail in such shallow waters that we scrape along the bottom all the way to heaven. That's no way to live. We need to have deep waters, be carried on the wind, with the wind of the Holy Spirit, on waves of the Holy Spirit. Would you like to be filled with the Holy Spirit tonight? This is for you individually to decide. Not as a group, I can't decide for you. I can only decide for me, and I need to decide for me. Will I be filled? Will I believe the promise? Will I appropriate that promise for myself? Right, I'm going to be filled with the Holy Spirit. I'm going to obey the commandment of the New Testament. Be filled, Paul said. It's a commandment to Christians. Be filled, be being filled with the Holy Spirit. We need the Holy Spirit, or we can't do anything. We're just under our own steam. Or maybe you're not formless. Maybe you're empty. You just need a big drink. Like Margaret said, there's a massive emptiness in you. You keep drinking all the waters of this world, which are salty waters. Have you ever drank seawater? Bad idea. Bad idea. Bad for you. Kills you in the end, actually. Dehydrates you. Sailors have been lost at sea, have been tempted to drink it, but if you drink it, you'll thirst with a terrible thirst. That's the only thing this world can offer you. It's the only thing the devil can offer you. Here, another wrong relationship. Well, I'm really thirsty for a bit of love, so gug, 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 gug. Oh, I'm worse. I'm worse. Here, have another dodgy deal. You need more money. Money's the answer. Yeah, money. I need a bit of money. I'm worse. I'm darker. I'm lost. I'm angry. I'm empty. That's the only thing the devil could offer you. If we drink that water, we need to stop and start drinking this water. The water I give you, Jesus said. He who drinks the water I give will never thirst again. Because in you, there's a satisfaction from God. And any time you want to drink, you could drink. You can drink. Anytime you need love, God's there to love you. Anytime you need help, you need money, you have a father to help you, provide for you. You're not on your own ever again. I'm lonely. God is with you. I'm sad. God will comfort you. I'm guilty. God will forgive you. God, for real. That's what having the Holy Spirit is. It's not a bit of religion. That's the difference between Christianity and religion. And you can have a Christian religion, like all the other world religions, that can never satisfy you. Religion is man trying to please God. Christianity is God loving man for free. And definitely pleasing him. Thank you, thank you. It's all free. It's a gift. You have to be, get in receiving mode to know the living God, the true God. He's not impressed by our attempts to get right. Like Margaret said, just come as you are. Hey, if you're a mess, wonderful. Join the club. Just come as you are. Come as you are. And you won't be empty anymore. And you won't be dark either. Maybe you're just dark. There's shadows, there's lies, there's secrets, there's deep wounds. My dark, bitter thing, bitter. You're bitter. You're so hurt, you're bitter. You don't know how to forgive. You don't know how to be free from that prison. Anger, you're tormented. It's just darkness. The answer for that darkness was the Holy Spirit. God said, let there be light. And there was light. Oh, it's all light. Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit is the fire who chases darkness. He's the fire that beats all the wrong fires. He's the river. He's the power from on high, as Margaret said. He's the mighty rushing wind. He's the fire from heaven. Maybe, you know, you're just so tempted. You're stuck on internet porn or just full of lust. Or full of anger, that's so super common. Anger just comes through being hurt. It's just a natural human reaction, but it ends up controlling you, takes over you. And those are like fires in you, the fire of lust, the fire of anger, the a fire of bitterness, like fires, but there's a holy fire. Our God is a consuming fire. And he puts out all the other fires, this fire. Does anyone remember Red Adair? The firefighter, Red Adair. Only me and Roy. Anyone else old in the room? Come on, Red Adair. And he used to, Red Adair was a famous firefighter. He used to get him in to put all the oil fires out when there was these big oil fires that they couldn't put out on oil rigs and in the, you know, Texas and these places. He was quite a character, but he used to put them out by setting up these massive explosions right near the fire. He got all this dynamite and stuff and put them on this in the on these contraptions and pushed them as close as he dared to the fire and then explode them. And the power and fire of the explosion was so great that it sucked up all the oxygen around, put every other fire out. It's a good idea, isn't it? That's like the Holy Spirit. These fires that can be out of control in our lives, out of control. You can try and put them out your whole life long. I'm getting therapy. I'm getting counselling. I'm turning over a new leaf. It's a new year. I promise, love, I'll never do it again. I've done it again. You can't conquer yourself. You can't conquer the world. You can't conquer yourself. We need God to save us from ourselves and from our hurts and our hang-ups. And he isn't in heaven, miles off, you know, sending down the odd email or Twitter or Facebook with a bit of advice, you know. Cheer up. Believe in yourself. Oh, he doesn't do that. That's ridiculous. He's done far more than that. First of all, he sent the ultimate Red Adair to earth, his son, Jesus, who on the cross, through his outpoured blood, put out every sin that every sinner will ever commit, so that forgiveness is totally free and available to you right now, whenever you need it, forever. That is the most awesome news you'll ever hear. And beyond that, he sent his Holy Spirit. Jesus said, he's as good as me. He's just like me. He said to the disciples, it's better for you that I go away, because I'm just knocking around with you. But he, I'm going to send him. He's going to be in you. He will be in you. It's like having Jesus on the inside. It is having Jesus on the inside. Oh, Lord, he's not just an example. Show me how to live, Jesus. I'll try and copy you. That's ridiculous. Copy him. You don't stand a chance. I've got a better idea, Jesus. Step inside me, Jesus. And let's live this life together. Don't take over me so I'm a robot. But live with me and help me. Give me power to do what you would do. That's Christianity. Do you remember the days before power steering? If you ever drove a big car without power steering? Just hard work. It's like Christianity without the Holy Spirit. It's just hard work. You get in a tight corner. It's but then they invented power steering. Isn't it awesome? Get a little ball on you if you want. Works the same way, actually. You still have to decide where you're going. You still have to make some decisions. But when you do, another power backs your decision and does the hard work for you. That's the Holy Spirit. Power steering for your life. So, are you ready? So here we're going to start Route 61 by receiving from him. Let's just pray for a moment. If you need to confess your sins to the Lord, just do it now. If you need any unblocking of that well, ask him to forgive you, and he'll just forgive you. Don't make a big deal of it. Just ask him, and he'll instantly forgive you. It's all bought for you, that, on the cross 2,000 years ago. You just receive that forgiveness through Jesus Christ. And once you've confessed your sin, just thank him. That's a faith thing. That's good to thank him. to say, thank you, Lord. I receive your forgiveness. Thank you. And then here's what we'll do. I'd like you to find some space in the room. There's loads of space. You can stand. You can sit if you want. Because Margaret said people were sat when the Holy Spirit came. So you can stay sat where you want, where you are, if you want. But you know what? I'd really recommend that you move, even if you get up and sit there. Just that activation of faith is putting yourself in a position where you're going to receive. And then we're going to ask the Holy Spirit to come fill the room and fill you. And then we're going to come around and pray for you and lay hands on you. Women will pray for women, men will pray for men. I'm just going to put hands on your head and pray for you to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And you will be filled with the Holy Spirit tonight. It's nothing to do with feelings. When I was first baptized in the Holy Spirit, when I was 17, 18 with Margaret, I never felt anything. But my life changed. You know, I felt nothing that day. I would have loved to. Oh, let me feel something. I want to cry. I want to shake. I want to feel lightning, but never anything. But from that moment, the Holy Spirit came into my life. I just began to change and change and change and change. So it's not all to do with feelings. You might feel absolutely overwhelmed with God. You might weep. That's fine. If anyone weeps, just let them, you know. Don't worry. God's blessing them. They're not sad. They're happy. Okay. So why don't we do that? Find a little bit of space. Let's try and use the whole room. Get somewhere where you're on your own a little bit, you know. This is between you and Jesus. Sorry. Now I'll keep my mic on for a minute and we'll just pray. Thank you, Lord. Okay, and wherever you are, why don't you just open your hands to the Lord as a sign that your heart is open to God. You're open to him. Don't worry about anyone else around you. Forget everyone else around you. Probably good to close your eyes. And you just begin to ask now, Jesus, to fill you with his Holy Spirit. Jesus said, if anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. So you just ask him to come and fill you. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you for being asked. Holy Spirit, we love you. We thank you that you're here, Lord. Spirit of Jesus, Spirit of God, Spirit of the Sovereign Lord, be on us tonight. We welcome you into this room. It's your world, it's your room, into our lives, into our bodies. We belong to you, you created us. We welcome you, Holy Spirit, in the name of Jesus. We welcome you, we thank you that you promised that you would come when we just asked. And we thank you that you honour his words. You honour his promises. So we ask you, Holy Spirit, to come and fill us. We ask you, Father in heaven, for the gift of your Holy Spirit again tonight. Holy Spirit, we ask you to well up within us, Lord. Well up, take over every cell in our body, every part of our life. Take over, Lord. Be Lord. We surrender. We open every room, even if it's a mess. Love us, love our mess, Lord. Come in. Come and change things, clean things. Blow the cobwebs away. Come, Holy Spirit. Have the whole house. Please fill us now. We want to be your friend. We want to know you. We want to get to know what you love and what you hate. And to agree with you. We want you to be the power that enables us to follow Jesus and do what's right. We want you to put out every fire that is in us that we can't put out. All fire from heaven. You are the God of fire. Full of burning power and love. Come, Lord. with a flame for every head tonight. Those who've known you for years, those who are just getting to know you, it doesn't matter to you, Lord. You freely come. And we just ask you now to come again, again. Come, Lord, fill us, fill me. Jesus, fill me again. Thank you, Lord. You just keep asking God yourself. I'm going to stop praying. And you just keep praying. Just receive him. Thank him. You don't have to say anything, but if you'd like to, you just tell him what's on your heart. And there's no rush. We're going to have 15 minutes of this. So just stay in God's presence. We'll come and pray for you. If you don't want any prayer, that's fine. We'll just move past. But you just receive from God now. He's here. He's filling you right now. So receive him. Make him welcome. Enjoy him. Thank you, Jesus.